Hello, welcome to Falcon Cast. The band's back together. We got Jay Adams, my man over here, DJ Shuckley. You know what I said? I said today it must have been cart path only to get Shock away from the celebrity golf tour.
So. Hey, I heard you. I watched the Falcon Cast last week, so I heard you talk about me being on celebrity tour and all. I just love to play golf, but I played in Ward's tournament this past Monday at East Lake where you had to walk the whole entire 18 up and down hills.
Jay, he's like, oh, poor me. I'm at East Lake.
I'm just saying. Where you have
a caddy? He's got a caddy.
I had a caddy, yes. It was awesome. I had a good time out there. So,
how'd you place?
We placed probably middle of the pack. We weren't, you know, up top.
You guys played it. But here's the thing. You played it for real. You know, no foot wedges. No foot wedges.
We had, I'm telling you, there's guys in this tournament who probably had a handicap of 4 or 5, and they probably said they had a 20 handicap and got 2 or 3 strokes on every hole. So when you got birdies, you got eagles. I mean, so at least say some guys cheat out there, I know, because the scores were ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Now, I've played, Jay and I have played in the, we used to play in the media tournament, and Coach, I was with Coach Selfo, so I know that you got to play by the rules.
I know Selfo.
Oh, yeah.
Selfo's all about the foot wedge.
Yeah, rules.
Rules are meant to be not broken. How about that?
Jay, real quick, though, got to address something with Shock. And
what's going on?
And we said we were last week. You and I played in the company kickball tournament, and we had the worst referee of all time
for the championship game.
If worst means best, then you're absolutely right.
His name, I was definitely DJ Shockley.
I was. You guys expect me to be a stand-up A1 guy, and that's what I was. I go by the rules. I had a.
That's not what we were looking for at all.
What do you mean?
We were looking for. A crony,
a little Falcon Cast love,
friend,
little Falcon Cast love,
somebody who was willing to turn a blind eye at times.
But Shock is giving these calls to guys he doesn't even know, and there's two guys that are with him every week.
Some of these calls were blatantly just right in my eye. I had to call it. You guys
expect that?
Oh, they were
blatant. Don't.
Yes,
Shock say they were not blatant.
You guys talking about the ball hit his shirt? The angle I was at was behind him, so I couldn't see. I'm on the shortstop side. You throw it on the second base side. I couldn't see that. So you guys get mad at me, and I couldn't see that call. So I can't call something I can't see. I didn't have a replay booth or nothing.
Jay, I dropped the ball this year. I didn't have a camera crew. Next year, I'm putting a camera crew just to follow us and Mike Shock.
Yep.
So we can show how bad we
should have mic'd Jay after he dropped that infield fly rule. That's what we should have mic'd him for after that. Yeah. But I give Jay credit.
You had no chance to redeem yourself. Terrible call after terrible call.
Jay did redeem himself and made like a top 10 sports center play.
Yeah. He went and got it. He ran out of infield a little single. He showed
Nobody thought I was gonna get it, and I got it.
Yeah, you literally land about 20 yards away.
You see me hobbling on my bad wheel out there.
Yeah, he was hurting. Oh. He was hurting.
Okay, I do it all for kickball.
I did an outstanding job, so anytime you need a referee, I'm there. So.
Let me tell you.
Outstanding job.
Your partner, Rod Coleman, did us no favors either.
Shock is the much. Eric Gregg at Hockey League.
Yeah.
These guys had Terry Bisky and Raheem Morris on their team, two of the most argumentative people in all the world. Raheem literally blocks a guy in a rundown, and there's no way I cannot call the other way. I had to say the guy was safe. He just literally stopped the guy in a rundown.
We're going to have Raheem me on. To
call that? Huh?
I know you guys expect me to call him safe or out.
It's his field, man.
He was out, and he's blocking him. That's ridiculous.
What's great is we're going to have Raheem on because this guy is intense. If he's half as intense as he was in kickball – We're gonna have an A1 coach out there.
Every time, right? He's like, "Okay, watch this. I'm gonna give him this curveball," and it's like 3 yards way outside.
And he's like, "What? That was a strike."
Meanwhile, Rod Coleman's just happy to be there back there.
Yeah, Rod Coleman and Jarius Norwood. It was fun. Kickball is awesome. We will have to maybe like live stream this next year or something. Yeah.
Rod was looking at me when they were looking at balls and strikes. I'm like, "You're the back plate umpire. That's not my call. You got to call balls and strikes."
It was great. Here are your referees of the day. It was DJ Shockley, Rod Coleman, Jarius Norwood, Brian Finneran.
Most sarcastic man alive, Brian Finneran.
Fosher and Josh Harris. That's fun, man. That's a good collection of guys.
You know, next year we might have to see if we can like raffle off a fan spot.
You guys definitely got you guys definitely got to get film of it because these guys have costumes. These guys make up their own names. I mean, it's pretty cool. We have to judge all that. It's pretty fun.
It's really good. And you know, it started way back when it was just like kind of like a few of us went out and did it.
Oh, this
and
thing is
now it, now it gets intense.
It's, everybody's looking forward to it.
Kenny is out of control, man.
Yeah. Well, let's not take up too much. We were told to stick to football on Twitter.
Oh yes, thank you, Twitter.
Yeah, okay,
the nicest people on in the world are people who follow Falcon Cast on Twitter. So for you, we're going to go ATAs. I'm kidding. Sometimes you guys are right. And you do need to whoop me up. I won't say what you called me. So let's go to OTAs.
Young
flannel. We got to go watch the second. This is the second week of OTAs.
Yep.
A few guys we got to talk to: Rashid Hageman, Anton Smith. It was nice. Those guys. It was nice to see Anton Smith back on the field, wasn't it?
It was, and Anton's not shy. He's not like the mean mugging kind of guy. You know, he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and like so the big toothy grin that he had the entire time that he was back out there was.
I'm gonna let you know. I'm letting him know you said he has big teeth. So continue. Go ahead. What you gonna say? I'm sorry. Continue.
So he was smiling a lot and very happy, showing teeth.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh. And so it was a lot of fun to see him back. I think, you know, they're going to bring him back slowly, not just kind of give him a full load right away. But, he makes that running back spot so interesting. I mean, that is the battle that I'm watching this year big time. And having him as a part of that, it's going
to
be fun.
I want to throw this to you, Shaq, because I think we've interviewed all three of the running backs. You know, you got Coleman,
Freeman
and Smith, sorry. Yeah. And all three of them, they want to be they are so overconfident mm-hmm. in their ability mm-hmm. to exceed in this system.
Let me tell you, I got called out on Twitter from Jerome Smith, another running back, the Syracuse running back, and he actually lives in the same apartment complex as me. And he saw me walking my dog the other day, and he screams from his balcony, he says, "Don't count me out." And I'm like, I would never do that. And so he's a guy who is hungry as well. And then Terran Ward, the undrafted guy, there are five good running backs.
It should be fun competition.
Right, here's the thing. At this level, if you're not confident, if you don't have that confidence, that work ethic in yourself, you're not going to make it. I mean, you will fall by the wayside so quickly. You won't even make it to training camp if you have that confidence in where I can be the second or third guy.
I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, if you're just happy to say, hey, I get a chance to – playing with the Atlanta Falcons, you have no chance of making this team, let alone being a starter. So all five of these guys having that type of confidence, it breeds just how good these guys are going to be, how much they're going to push each other. I talked to Anton a lot. He's a good buddy of mine, and he's kind of kept me up to date about, you know, his process, how he's been going, and, you know, he's graduated, say, hey, I'm starting to cut down. I seen him at Top Golf, and I was like, dude, why are you limping? What's going on? He was like, oh, no, I'm all right. Just sometimes it gets tight on me. But he was like, I'm ready to cut.
Walk him with a little swagger, right?
Yeah. He's like, man, I'm cutting. I'm running. I'm ready to go. He was like, you know, this is my natural swag limp. But, you know, I keep that going every night.
Let me ask you this, though, because I think this is a question that I got a couple of times on Twitter when, we put out a story about Devontae Freeman saying, I didn't come to the NFL to play second to anyone.
Right.
And this is weeks after Tevin Coleman comes into rookie minicamp and says, hey, I want to be the starter. Mm-hmm. When you've got these two guys who are saying these things in the media internally, does that create tension, or is that just the spirit of competition?
No, not at all. I would expect the guy in the room next to me to want to be as good or better than me, because if not, he's not going to push me. Then I'm going to be kind of lackadaisical, like, well, he don't really care about it. I know I got the spot. But when you have two guys who are as competitive as those guys are, and they both saying it, they vocally saying it, it's going to bring out the best in them. And he knows it, and I know it. Well, guess what? I'm going to bring my best every time I step on the field, because I know the next guy is trying to outbeat me or trying to do something better. So I don't think it's tension that way. It just brings out the competitiveness a little bit more in those guys.
I was gonna say, that's got to be interesting in a meeting room. Jay and I have not been in an NFL meeting room like you have, where
they kick us out.
You think I'm the best.
Yeah.
You know this guy thinks he's the best, but at the same time, he's got to be your brother.
I mean, even if he doesn't say it, you know another guy means it. It's
but
like,
at the end of the day, he's got to be part of your family. Absolutely. And you're going to fight for him. He's going to fight for you.
Yeah, no doubt. Because at the end of the day, you can't control what he does. Mm-hmm. And he can't control what you do. So if you do your best when it's your turn, then it'll handle itself. And that's one thing I had to realize when I was playing was, I can't worry about the guy who I'm on the bubble with. I can't worry about everybody else, because once I start worrying about them, who am I forgetting about?
They
myself.
Yeah. Yourself, yeah.
So then you lose track of what's going to make you better, and you so focus on them that you don't get any better. And that's what I think all these guys are doing, is saying, all right, I got to focus myself on me, because I know this guy's giving everything he has to try to take my spot that I want. And if you're in the National Football League, you should want to be the best. Even when I was the third string guy, I wanted to do everything Matt did. I wanted to do a little bit better because at the end of the day, when it was my turn to shine, it was my turn to get in the game. If I didn't prepare myself just as good as he was preparing himself, it was show. So I wanted to make sure I put forth the extra effort, and I know these guys are doing the same.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's really awesome stuff, Chuck. That's cool to hear. I've actually always wondered that. You know, it is these. There's so much competition.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you got to still be a family right. to succeed in this.
But I just published a story from our writer Andrew Hirsch, who was on the show last week, about Colin Mooney, the fullback who's competing with Patrick DeMarco, and he had a great quote in there. He says, "Iron sharpens iron," and as mm-hmm. cliche as that is, I mean, that's kind of how they view it. I mean, these guys are going to push each other for a long period of time, and then when the dust settles, if they're both on the team, they're both going for the same goal. So,
and here's one last thing, Jay, I cut you off, but the coaches look at it as well. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're in practice and something goes wrong, and you know exactly what he did, or you and the coach are just talking about it, and he has to go and do something else, and he sees you go and say, hey man, this is what me and coach are just talking about. Little things like that show coaches he's a team guy. He's mm-hmm. not all about himself, and that goes a long way as well. And the other guy will root for you even more because he's like, he's not trying to, you know, make me look bad. He's trying to help me as well. Yes. And it helps that what we call the team and the leadership part of everything.
See, but that's why I think it's so important for a guy like Anton Smith to be that leader mm-hmm. in that room, because you have so much youth in there.
Tone's that dude, too.
Yeah.
He's always like that. I mean, he's a helper. He's a guy who cares about the team. He's been around it long enough to know.
Where do
to
you
know.
Need me, guy? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's been the special teams guy. He's been the third down. He had some big plays last year, so he's been up, down, he's been in the middle, so he knows exactly where it falls.
Absolutely. And you know, that's all about maturity. And I think I was telling Jay the other day, a guy that's caught my eye who has matured just in a year, you know, he was kind of, there was a microscope on him in Hard Knocks, and that's Rashid Hageman.
Mm-hmm.
I see a different Rashid Hageman, the way he handles the media, the way you see his body language on the field, and the way he's coming to camp. He's kind of got a different body type, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's dropped a lot of weight. I think that's something that they wanted him to do, because he's going to stay at defensive end. He's going from being a college defensive tackle to a 3-4 defensive end, which is very different from a 4-3 defensive end. So now he's had to slim down, and he's had to kind of gain a little bit more quickness and all those things. And these are things that he has really focused on this offseason. And if you haven't seen Rashid, I mean, go to our website and take a look at him, because, you know, he looks great. Everything that Dan Quinn is saying about this guy is just phenomenal. He's so impressed by him, the quickness, the first step. All that stuff is standing out right now. And Sheed had a great quote in saying that, you know, he expects big things this year because he's too big to be average. And I think that's a great attitude to have.
And it's a couple of things that come from exactly what you talk about. And I remember when I was here, we had to take, like, body weight, and you had to take, you know, body fat, and we'd just get checked on it every single week.
I had to do that yesterday. I didn't do too well.
Yeah, you had to do physicals. And you had to do all that. And it goes back to the old adage of a guy who played here who, you know, was pretty flamboyant. He talked about, hey, if you look good, you feel good, you play good, all that kind of stuff. Dion, I remember Dion saying it all the time. You look good, feel good, play good, pay good, pay all good, that kind of stuff. But for him to lean out, for him to have the body type that he feels good at, it goes a long way, because as we know, they're doing a lot of different things up front. There's a lot of depth, like you guys talked about last week, at that defensive line position. And we've heard Coach Quinn talk a couple times about, hey, we're going to have a speed package for D-line. We're going to have some bigger guys who are first and second down guys. You got some guys who can rush the passer. And for him to be able to feel the way he wants to and play more, and I know that was a big issue last year, was maybe he had one or two plays and he was coming out of the game because he felt so heavy or he felt like he was out of shape. If his body's in tip-top shape, There's no, hey, he can only play this down. He can only play that down. Coach feels comfortable playing him at any time for any amount of time, too. So for him to do that and to come in here in his second year, like you said, in that maturity factor for him to click that, hey, okay, I know what I need to do to be successful on the ultimate level is, first, I got to get my body together. And then mentally, like you said, with the media, all that comes hand in hand. And it's coming full circle for him early, especially in his second year, which is good.
I think the big person that you've got to credit for helping him along is Brian Cox. I mean, you saw a little bit of it during Hard Knocks, but, I mean, that continued throughout the year, and it continued into this offseason, and it continues now of him just being a mentor and a father figure and a coach and all these different things wrapped up into one for Rashid, and Rashid is responding really, really well to that. So credit to Brian Cox, and, you know, he's one of the a few coaches that stuck around from the last regime, and I think that has been so huge for a guy like Rashid
Brian Cox,
reaching his potential.
Coach Cox has that attitude like most of the D-line guys, is how he acts, his demeanor. We talk about the swagger of the guys. You got to be able to relate to those guys up in those trenches, and he has that kind of demeanor about him that makes guys want to play for him. And I was at the fishing event last night and talking to Akeem King, and he talks about, you know, how Coach Raheem Morris is, how they're always laughing, having a good time. And, he kind of perked up when you talked about it. And guys that give you a little bit more if they can relate better to their coach, mm-hmm. and their coach can, you know, get more out of them. And like you talked about with Hard Knocks, it went on throughout the year and helped them get better.
And that's something that we can discuss on a podcast, you know, in the future, is just how much younger the coaching staff is now, mm-hmm. and how being able to relate to some guys who were on the field not all that long ago.
The energy level,
it's
everything.
It's completely different. Yeah. I mean, Jeff Ulbrich, I mean, is running around, like, doing chest bumps with his linebackers and, like, all this stuff. And it's all stuff that is just brand new. Right. It's a lot of fun to see.
And if you go on AtlantaFalcons.com and all those social properties, you'll be able to see we were able to talk to the offensive assistants this past week. So next week, we'll do the same with the defensive assistants, and we'll make sure that we ask Brian Cox and Raheem Morris about that. That'll be good to hear from them on that. That's mm-hmm. good stuff for sure. And then one other thing we want to talk about is the new addition. What can you tell us about Chris Chester? Seems like a guy that's familiar with this offensive scheme.
Yeah, I mean, he played under Kyle Shanahan, so that's great. He's got that familiarity with the offense. You know, he had a very good first practice, and now keep in mind offensive and defensive linemen are basically playing patty cake out there right now. There's no, you know, real huge contact. They're not wearing pads or anything like that, so there's only so much you can judge on. But you've got a veteran presence up front, that's huge.
The big thing about having a guy who's familiar is you just want guys going to the right spots right now. You mm-hmm. want guys being able to go to the right position, going, picking up the right guys on certain blitzes. And with a guy like Chester coming in here, he understands exactly what Coach Shanahan is asking of this offense, especially up front. You got to be able to – I mean, it's so much goes up on up front that people don't understand with the offensive line, or who they have to block, who they have to go to, who you have to slide to, who they have to gap, who you have to help with, your guard or center or whatever it may be, tackle. And if you can come in right now and be that veteran president like you talked about and understand what coach is asking you right now, it helps the offense kind of gel a little bit faster. Like you guys talked about last week with the rookie not being here, Hardy being at the rookie premiere, not having that, you know, rapport with Matt so early. You have guys who've been in the system, it helps it gel a little bit faster.
And it's nice that, you know, you got Chester, you got Hankerson, and then on defense, you got a guy like O'Brien Schofield. Those are three guys that are going to be able to say, hey, I know this system a little bit better than you right now. Like you said, Chuck, your point, mm-hmm. You may want to be there. You may be want to be here.
Right.
I think that's invaluable.
Right.
Yeah, and O'Brien Schofield is a guy I'm super excited about, too. I don't know if you've had a chance to see him on the field, but, man, the guy can move.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I want to remind everyone that the mini camp built by the Home Depot is open to the public. It's going to be from June 16th to June 18th, and Wednesday, June 17th is Kids Day.
Kids Day. Bring the kids.
Everyone gets a backpack, I think. Right,
first 1,000 kids.
First 1,000 kids.
Right through the gates at 12:10. That's going to be a big day.
Yeah, that's going to be good. And like we said last week, I mean, why would you not want to come? Take a little time off. You're off from school.
Hear a good playlist, huh?
Come watch. Playlist. Yeah, come listen to this playlist and come watch the energy that Dan Quinn has instilled in this practice. I think you'll be very excited.
Absolutely.
Be very happy that you did. All right, let's say hello to my man, Brian Bosek. Break with Bosek. How you doing, my man, Brian? What's going on?
Very well, thank you. How are you guys?
What do you got for us today?
I was wondering what the worst call by a referee in any sport or at any level. What's the worst call you've seen?
I got too many of these.
I got like two or three off the top of my head. Obviously, the first one was when you had the replacement referees in Seattle and Green
that
Bay.
Bad.
That was a good one.
That was pretty bad. A couple years back with the I think it was Pittsburgh and Detroit maybe going. They was going in overtime, and Bettis called tails, and the thought he said, "Hey, I mean." Those come to mind, and then the last one was this past year with the Detroit game and Dallas when the ref called the pass interference, then he took it away, and Detroit ended up losing. I mean, it was those are three that stick out for me.
Jay, you on Music City Miracle?
Oh, that I was gonna go. I'm going Buffalo sports. You know, I have to go Buffalo sports. But yes, that. It was a forward pass. I'm going to my grave.
You're
going to
live and die with that?
Mathematicians have looked at this, and they've said that it was a forward pass.
And you drew the line.
Frank Wycheck is still pushing the narrative that it was a
he's going to live with that. Like you say, he's going to take it to his grave, too.
Absolutely. That's fine. But he's going to his grave a liar. And I'm telling you,
are you talking to him right now?
I am.
Listen,
Frank.
You look like you're really.
We'll see Frank this year. He's part of the Titans. But I hope he calls Jay out at the broadcast.
Jay is serious right now.
Let's have a conversation. my other one that I was reminded of yesterday because the Stanley Cup final started last night. Our own young Brian Bosak
got
is a big Chicago Blackhawks fan. I'm a Sabres fan, have been my whole life, and the no goal call where Brett Hull's foot was in the crease at the end of Game 7, that still sticks in my craw when it comes.
That sounds like Spanish to me. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Foot was in the crease. You know,
it was in the crease.
It looked like a call assault. You would make.
Really. Well, I mean, that's a good call. Dude.
How about Jasper Sanks, man? That was a bad one. Georgia Tech.
Oh, terrible.
That one hurt.
Yeah, that one hurt.
That infield fly rule call in the Braves divisional game, I think that was 3 years ago.
Kind of similar to like the infield fly that Jay dropped, right? Kind of similar to that, right? Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Pretty similar to that. Right
he
there.
Wants to ignore all the
those,
other great plays.
Hey, there's another one, Shock. Here's a good one. I think you were on the squad for this one. Remember when we were in Philly and Mike Smith was out of timeouts?
Oh.
Adam Jennings.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't catch the punt.
Yeah, he didn't even touch it, though.
It didn't touch him.
Yeah, it didn't even touch
him. We would have won the game.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then we ended up losing. That was a bad one.
My man Adam took that pretty hard. Me and him were like roommates. He took that he took that really hard.
Adam
was
a good guy.
He felt like he lost a game. That was
tough. Adam's a good guy. That's my – what about you, Bosa? You got one?
You can't ask the question and not have one, Bosa.
No, none that stick out to me.
Come on, Bosa.
What's your next question?
Which second-year Falcon will impress fans the most this season?
Good question.
Hmm.
I like Jake Matthews on that one. I think he was playing hurt last year. I think you're going to see a healthy Jake Matthews really be one of your premier left tackles in the NFL.
I'm going with Hageman.
Hageman? Yeah. I'm going with my man. Your Seminole.
Devontae.
I like Devontae. Devontae was out there East Lake as well. He's out there at Warwick's tournament out there hacking it up.
He's playing.
He was hacking.
I know his team. There's
hacking.
No chance his team won.
My boy Devontae was hacking it. But
did anyone get any footage of Devontae swinging a golf club? I got to see this.
I just like his whole demeanor right now. I like what he's saying. I like how he's going about it. I think he is hungry. I think he sees the light at the end of the tunnel that he feels like, hey, this is my team, this is my time, and I'm going to take full advantage of it. And a guy who's that hungry, I'm all about that.
You know, we were scheduled to have him on when you were off gallivanting on one of your
golf
tournaments. And it got canceled at the last minute. And so we need to reschedule that and have Devontae back.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Get him in studio.
What you got, Bosa? What's our video of the week? I saw that you made a last – I gave you a video and you made a last second switcheroo.
Yeah, I changed
switcheroo.
It. I wasn't sure if it was
appropriate. Did we have a moral issue here again?
That was good.
Matt's moral compass is
you got to remember, he's not getting a lot of sleep these days.
Off-kilter at times.
All
right, what do we got?
I haven't seen this one yet, so I'm excited.
All right, so DJ, you might be able to relate to this. I don't know if this ever happened to you.
Is that?
It's a race car.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he's on the golf
course. Remote control car.
Oh, this is not right.
I've seen this. This is fantastic.
Oh, no.
Classic.
Boy, and let me tell you something. If there's one thing I know, it's that there's no one so understanding as a couple of
old hackers. Yeah,
old hackers on the golf course,
DJ,
especially one in a Kangol hat.
I'm
What would you do if this happened?
I'm pissed right now because obviously.
Oh! Oh! Come on, you're going to run out like he did something? Come on.
That was a perfect.
I would do that too.
Perfect backswing and everything.
I would do that too.
You know why? You know why I can feel him? Mad. Bosek, this is why I can feel him. This is why I can understand. Look how close that was. That ball was to the hole. That was an excellent second
He's
shot.
He's so proud
to get on
of
the
that.
Green.
He's so proud.
Yes, I would have done the same thing. This kid's got no leg to stand on here. He's upset because the guy
been
no,
so mad.
Get off the golf course. Take your RC car. Take the kids' games back to the clubhouse.
Oh, he's chasing him?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm with these guys.
I'm with them, too, because if I just hit a good shot on the green, I need to mark it. Just let me mark it first.
You know, these guys would have been so mad, me coming up there, because my friends, because none of us would have had a ball on the green for them to mess with.
Yeah, right.
She'd have been waiting all day. But like, we're off the green a little bit, buddy.
Get it more towards the green. That's funny, but I'm with good job. I still think we can get our other video.
You're with the kids, aren't you? You're more on the side of the kids on this one.
No, I think it's hilarious. I think that's funny. It's juvenile. You're having fun, but I'm not mad that it's. I have no sympathy that this car is ruined.
No.
I think it's funny.
Here's the only way I would be mad is if I had a friendly wager on that golf course at that time and
that is true playing a little wolf or something,
yeah. You know, so that's when it really would be some trouble right there.
That's good stuff. Hey Shock, it's great to have you back, man.
I appreciate you guys having me back. Hey guys, I may not be back next week, so who knows, we'll see what happens.
We got to see if what celebrity golf tournament is next week?
I do bad for a golf tournament next week.
Probably got the Bill Goldberg celebrity classic.
Me and Bosek go back and forth about, you know, good things. So we'll figure it out, right?
All right. Thanks, Shock. Thanks, guy on the couch. Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Bosek. We'll see you next week on Falcon Cast.